I'm ready. At last. Thank you.
Good to come and worship the Lord. And whatever our week's been like, whatever's going on, we have to give everything to Him. And I'm just struck, and I guess it's especially at this time of year, by the beauty of creation. I know it's beautiful all year round, but I got distracted in my quiet time this morning by, I could see some flowers trying to come through in a pot, and I turned the pot so I could see them. Anyway, but it's just so good to come and worship Him. He's given us this beautiful creation. He's given us salvation. What more do we need? So let's worship Him this morning for who He is. So we're going to start with Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. And then we're going to go into great is the Lord and most worthy of praise.
Come to Lord, we want to thank you for the work you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love.
Must never be just words which we repeat, but it must be us speaking to the Lord personally and knowing that He is listening. Let us pray. Gracious God, rejoicing in your blessing and trusting in your loving care for all, we bring our prayers to you this morning. We pray for the world. We pray for the created world, for those who rebuild where things have been destroyed, for those who fight hunger, poverty, and disease, for those who have power to bring change for the better, and to renew hope. We pray for our country, for those in leadership who frame our laws and shape our common life, who keep the peace and administer justice, for those who teach, for those who heal, for those who serve the community. We pray for people in need, for those for whom life is a bitter struggle, those whose lives are clouded by death or loss, by pain or disability, by discouragement or fear, by shame or rejection. We pray for those in the circle of friendship and love around us, for children and parents, for sisters and brothers, for friends and neighbours. And especially, Lord, we pray for David, Brian's son. Lord, be very close to him and to the whole family at this time. We pray for April, for Rita's granddaughter, and we pray, Lord, that all that happens at the hospital will be entirely successful, and that April will go from strength to strength. We pray for Rita herself, that the pain that she feels so strongly might come to an end. We pray for Stuart, Jean's husband. Lord, we miss him. Be with him. Be his friend. Be his constant companion. Be all that he needs, Lord. We love him and we know you love him. And especially today, we pray for all fathers. May they receive a special blessing. We pray for the church in its stand with the poor, in its love for the outcast and shamed, in its service for the sick and neglected, in its proclamation of the gospel in this land and in this place. Eternal God, hear these our prayers, the spoken and the silent, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all praise and glory, both for now and forevermore. Amen. Can I just have a word about prayer? I was very anxious in the week. I have been writing prayers, general prayers, which could be used in gatherings of people, in services, in meetings or whatever. And then after a few of those, I've started doing special prayers for special situations. I really hope that they will be words that came to me from the Lord and not come from any books. They come, I hope, from the heart, and I hope that they may in the end produce perhaps a paperback book of prayers. So I would pray for your support as I continue that particular project. Strangely enough, while I was doing this, I also glanced, forgive me, Eunice, I also glanced at our porch, which we don't use as a front door. In other words, it's such a mess. Lord, I've got to do something about it before I go. And when I said before I go, it really challenged me. Oh, I've got so much to do before I go. And somehow or some way, I began to think that the time for going was only just round corner. Last night I was a bit frightened of going to bed. I mean, I want to be there when I go. I don't want to be asleep. But isn't it strange? You know, we can be with our Lord, we can be praying, but we can also be distracted. Our message as believers is that we serve the Lord here, and one day when he is ready, he will receive us in glory. So we've got a lot to be thankful for, and really nothing to worry. I found myself worrying that we've got a forgiving God. So let us put behind us any fears we might have, and let us trust in God and trust in the prayers that we make. For years, I was in the Boys' Brigade attached to an Anglican church, and I learned so much. But one thing that really upset me was the prayers, because it was as if we looked at the Common Book of Prayer, and it was as if we were just repeating words. We didn't stop, I think, to think what we were saying. We'd learned it by heart after so many years. And it's brought to me a great danger about our prayers. What the Lord wants to hear is words from our heart. It's us talking to the Lord. It's not repeating what we can find in books. They are useful. They have been helpful here, but there is a place for real, earnest, private prayers. God bless us all. Thank you, Jilly.
So the next two songs we're going to sing very much focus on God's grace in our lives. And I started the service talking about salvation. And we'll have the reading in between. It's only by grace, then the reading, then wonderful grace. But I just wanted to share two favorite scriptures. Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that wonderful? That he's removed them as far as the east is to the west. What a relief that is. And then Micah 7:19. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. So the depths of the sea, as far as the east is from the west, they're miles away. So let's not worry about them. The Lord has dealt with it. So following that, we're going to sing Only by Grace Can We Enter.
Only by grace and the earth. Into your hands that you call us, you told us to come. Into your presence, you told us to come. Now I am ready to speak. Now I am all of my transgressions, the sky. And to your grace, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. For all of my transgressions, the blue sky.
As we sing songs like that, they're prayers. We're singing to God, and we're thinking about it perhaps more than if we were actually speaking, because we're singing. It's wonderful, you know. Yes, you could say, well, we're just repeating them, but I don't think that's true somehow with songs. As we sing it, I think we automatically are thinking more deeply about what those words say. It's our prayer to our God. Over to Rita now, who wasn't sure whether she would be here because of the pain that she has been suffering. But thank you, Rita. We are pleased that you are here. We love you, and we go over to you now.
Bible reading comes from Acts 17, verses 24 to 34. God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and to mark their appointed times and distances as the boundaries of their land. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far away from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And some of you have your own prophet, sorry, your own poet who said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that a divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design or skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. And he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of it to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, Some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." After that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Amen.
Thank you, Philip.
So we're going to sing "Wonderful Grace That Gives What I Don't Deserve, Pays Me What Christ Has Earned, Then Lets Me Go Free."
Wonderful grace that gives what I don't deserve, pays me what Christ has earned, and lets me go free. Wonderful grace that gives me the time to change, what is the way to stay, that once out of the open. And all that I have,
Who is God? Who is God? I wonder how we would attempt to answer that question. You know, Paul was greatly distressed to see the city of Athens was full of idols. Full of idols. In chapter 17, we see that Paul visits three cities: Thessalonica in verses 1 to 9, Berea in verses 10 to 15, and Athens verses 16 to 34. And you know, when Paul reached Athens, the city was in a period of decline, although it was still recognized as a center of education and culture. Paul arrived in the city, not as a sightseer, but as a soul winner. And he intended to show them all that they had an altar to an unknown God, but he was going to let them know who the real God is. So in Paul's message, he shares four truths about the one true and only God. So number one, he talks of the greatness of God, verse 24. The greatness of God. He is the creator. Every thinking person probably asks, where did God come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Science attempts to answer the first question, and philosophy wrestles with the second. But friends, it's only the Christian faith that has a satisfactory answer to all three. In the beginning, God made the world and everything in it. He is Lord of all he made. And he is not a distant God, but he is one who loves us all. That is our God. We talk about his greatness. He created all that has been made. Number two, we talk about the goodness of God. Verse 25. He is the provider, not just the creator. He is the provider. We know this because he loves us. He provides all that we need, life, breath, and all things. He is indeed the source of every good and perfect gift. And yet many people worship creation and glorify themselves. Number three, verses 26 to 29, talks about the government of God. What do we mean? He is the ruler. The gods of the Greeks were distant beings who had no concerns for the problems and needs of people. But we know, do we not, the God of creation is also the God of history and geography. The Greeks felt that they were a very special race, different from other nations. But Paul, he makes it quite clear that even their precious land was a gift from the one and only true God. You see, it's not the power of people, but it is the government of God that determines the rise and the fall of nations. And then finally, number four. Verses 30 to 34. The grace of God. Yes, the grace of God. He is the Savior. As Paul brings his message to a close, he summarized the clear evidence of God's grace. God commands all people to repent. The Savior was killed and raised again. The Greek council could not accept the truth of resurrection. They had a few responses. Some just laughed and mocked. Others didn't take Paul seriously. Others were interested, but wanted to hear more. Whilst there was a small group who believed and accepted Jesus as their Savior. See the Lord at work in all of this, don't you? Paul's example, you know, should encourage us to share the gospel among people. Among people, yes, that we know, and among people that we do not know. You see, outreach to all people is vitally important. Because, you know, if the Lord opens a certain door to us, surely we dare not fail him, but we need to enter it. But we will be encouraged, surely. Because when we go and take God's love to someone, a group or an individual, we dare not fail, but we will be encouraged. Because God calls people, he also equips. And you know, when we falter for words, the Holy Spirit will teach us what to say. Oh dear, I found that very, very helpful in a hospital ward when a person challenged me. Words came out of my lips that I didn't even realize were coming, but it silenced the person. That was the Holy Spirit working in and through me. I can make no claim for it. So then, let us try in our lives to follow Paul's example, to show Jesus to all who we meet. You know, we talk, don't we, about evangelism. We talk about what we are doing, what we should be doing. It is vitally important that we are ready to respond to whatever God may require of us. And sometimes it's going to be something that we perhaps don't like. Not only does God provide the words if we do not have them, I tell you this, my friend, God may well send us to someone we find it hard to like. Someone whose behavior is horrible. He may send us to someone who smells. Oh, we can't stand it. My friends, any door that is open, we must respond to. Remember this, the person or persons we go to, God loves them. And he does not want them to be lost, but he wants them, by grace, to have the love and the gift of salvation that we all have and treasure. And to him be the glory. Amen.
Thank you, Bruce. And we're going to sing two songs now together, and the first one, Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness, and the second verse is, King of All Days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. He did it for us and he did it for everyone. And as Bruce said, we need to go share that. And then we finish with the wonderful, amazing grace, just to remind ourselves of just what Jesus has done in our lives. So, light of the world first.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness, open my eyes and you see. You think that hand is hard to avoid, all of my life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to
I'm
Praise be to God indeed. Can I remind you and thank you for gifts brought for the food bank, and thank Bruce for making sure that the gifts we brought are received at Riviera Life for their food bank. There is increasing demand for these food banks. More people are using them because of the situation in our country at the moment. So let us also remember that food bank and all other food banks in our prayers. The other thing is that we've got a notice here from Bruce. Banners under notice boards. He wants some suggestions that he might be able to incorporate in a change that he feels is perhaps needed. So read it, please, think, pray, and come back to Bruce. Now may we all join together in saying the grace.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Wait a moment.